Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we will be recapping I'm a Good Girl, I Am, season 5, episode 24 of Pretty Little Liars, of the hit TV show Pretty Little Liars. Do you know
the penultimate episode of season 5?
The penultimate episode. Phoebe, do you know? So obviously this title is not a callback to Gossip Girl, but also it is. And it also is a call forward to us starting Gossip Girl next year. But there's an episode of Gossip Girl where Blair is having a dream and it opens on her. And I'm pretty sure it's like an Audrey Hepburn movie and it's black and white. And she's like in court and it's like her against Serena. It might be around the time of the college admissions or something. And she is like on trial or something. She's like, no, I'm a good girl, I am. I'm a good girl, I am. And that's what she does. And it's like, you don't know what I'm talking about?
No. I remember there being black
okay,
and
it's
white
Eliza
things.
Doolittle. Whoops. Okay, bad musical theater person. It is from My Fair Lady, but it's Blair Waldorf saying it. Hang on. It's really like, actually, when I first saw it, I was like, cringe. I do not like Blair doing that. I thought it was very weird. I did not care for it. Well, all of her dreams are like different. It's not there. Gosh darn it all. I'll find it. But all of her dreams are like old movies.
So Blair.
Which is one of my favorite things about Blair. But yeah, so she has a thing where she like stands up. And it's one of the ones where she does not look glamorous and beautiful. She's Eliza Doolittle. But yeah, so that's what we're doing here, which I guess is what Allie's saying. They're trying to say.
I think they're all saying it.
You know what? I think they're all saying it. Phoebe, can I tell you what I was saying this whole episode? I was saying, oh my fucking God. I said that out loud.
I guessed multiple times.
I know this is the penultimate, but I'm like, it makes complete and total sense. Here's what I think happened in the writer's room. Okay. In the writer's room, they're like, all right, guys. It's the end of an era. It's the end of Pretty Little Liars. Season 5, the girls are going to jail. Justice is served. And this is it. And then somebody crawls out from behind the boardroom table and they say, I've got an idea. $1 million. $1 million worth it. It's my idea. And the person was like, oh, who is that? And everyone was like, let's hear him out. And so he gets on the table and he stands up and he goes, what if we do something absolutely fucking crazy? No one will see coming. We had 2 more seasons. Lock them all up. Lock them all up, caught the dollhouse. Ha ha. And they're like, well, this was like, we didn't get funding for the next 2 seasons. Like, this is the last episode ever. And they're like, trust me. And that's, they're like, okay, let's go balls to the walls. So like fully, I believe this last episode, it has all the drama we would need for a finale. You know, I know it's not really,
for
but like
a finale.
Well, I'm really just saying for a season finale. I was just like making a joke, but I think that it would like, and like it's so crazy that in my mind, it really is like what could possibly be happening next.
I
like this must
love
be it.
How,
you
like,
know?
The girls have no idea that they're getting like they aren't picking up
and
the fact that they're
I.
getting arrested. And oh, well, I guess I've seen it before, but
yeah.
After Lieutenant Butterscotch's conversation with Toby, I was like, oh no,
I didn't.
They're gonna make a show of it. They're gonna make a show of it.
Oh my God, I didn't get that from that. I did not.
Guys, Lieutenant Butterscotch sucks. Remember a couple weeks ago when Caroline was like, she's kind of getting on my good side?
I was like, she's kind of serving. Yeah, just kidding. Hey, she's actually kind of swerving away from my good side onto my bad side.
She also doesn't have any sort of idea of what the geography of the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is.
Shout out Allegheny County. Allegheny
for
County reference.
For literally no reason. I'm like, do you didn't do They didn't, other than Googling counties in Pennsylvania, not an ounce of research was put into where things are.
No, because I was
or
like,
how long it gets to.
For a moment, how long that state gets to. I was thinking for a moment, how big is Allegheny County? Because that's major. Didn't realize the county I'm in stretches quite so far. Yeah.
The other side of the state.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, guys, this is a fucking crazy episode. I literally was just like, I said, I had to pause like multiple times. Like, oh my God.
I think the writers like got high before they wrote
said,
this episode and just like let
PLL jamboree. Like, that's what I'm saying though. They were like, all right, guys, last episode, pull out everything. What do we got? Put everything insane
maybe
that you thought
was
on the cutting room floor.
Like,
we'll put it in.
I wonder if they thought they maybe like maybe they had already gotten the renewal for season six. So they like planned out like half a season for season six the way they did for season seven eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time season five was wrapping, they were like, okay, and also you get a season seven.
And they were like, oh, fuck. Okay, well, we already
awesome.
Filmed and edited up until episode 25. So I guess we could fit one more episode in for the season. We need to create a new storyline, though. The girls just got to jail. And then that's when, again, the little bog monster crawled up and said, is this a good time for my idea? And they were like, okay, Gideon. His name was Gideon. Said,
right.
He says,
right.
Who am I? Oh, no one. Gideon.
You're giving Rumpelstiltskin and the TV show that feels like a fever dream Once Upon a Time.
Thank you.
That's kind of his energy.
I like now, like, this isn't a video podcast and stop asking, but we do just occasionally do little tips of the hats to each other and we don't acknowledge it. All right, well, I'm on the recap, so, and I was not about to not have it organized again, but it's a quick one, so here we go. You'll remember, and if you don't, show some freaking respect. Hannah Marin was wrongly arrested for Mona's murder because Mona's clothes were found with Hannah's blood on them. And we do know that A planted that blood. Aria has been getting tutored by Smart Andrew, but he started acting weird. I feel like he's been trying to get in the clique from the very beginning. He's been acting weird about it from the very beginning. But now it's like, you know, we're not just playing strip study with Spencer. We're inserting ourselves into the families, kissing Aria, saying we're lucky Mona didn't live long enough to run for president. So a little bit concerning from Andrew. Spencer and Toby hit a little rough patch since he decided to become a cop and Lieutenant Butterscotch is not rooting for Spoby. Sorry, guys. And I'll just say it. Spencer and Caleb are working a little too close for comfort to, quote, help Hannah. Yeah, right. Help Hannah, help yourself. And miscellaneous things I should add as well. Allie, that's right. I just put you under the miscellaneous category. Read it and weep. She was offered a plea deal. Didn't take it. She is now on trial and her fate will be decided by a jury. And Kenneth De Laurentiis just learned about juries. Mona's redheaded friend, also, don't forget her, who looks like a cross between Sydney Sweeney and Syndrome from The Incredibles. She showed up a little while ago and she was looking for Hannah and the rest of the girls to thank them, yeah, right, for being there for Mona when she wasn't. And I just want to say, hey, Sydney Syndrome, you also weren't there for her funeral. And now you're coming in here and you're fake crying
Syndrome.
And you're doing all this shit. Did I not say Syndrome?
No, I'm saying Syndrome.
Ah, that's good. Syndrome. But the N kind of... Syndrome. There's something about that. Am I using my fingers to write in the air? Of course. Of course I am. That's why everyone wants a live show, because they want to see what we're doing with our hands while we're talking. Guys, our hands are constantly in motion. They're never moving. If you ever hear
like
things...
We're like Heather Gay when Britney says that she and her boyfriend have broken up.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot to say to you today, Phoebe, hey, you're my best friend. And do the heart like Britney. I saw someone tweeted like just her going like this and was like, this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever, like the most embarrassed I've ever felt was just her doing that like at the table. Like, it's so embarrassing. Anyway, that's the recap. Good job, Caroline.
I do think two things. One, I think it's crazy that Allie is fully on trial for murder and she landed herself in the miscellaneous category of Caroline's recap. Second,
Emily
of all,
wasn't
I
even
think,
in it.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
She didn't have anything.
I also think that the actress who plays Syndrome is
good.
Oh, no, I didn't really notice her talent. I just think that she heard what we said about her being like Sydney Sweeney. She did not sound like Sydney Sweeney like she did the last time we saw her.
No, she didn't. I thought she gave a good little acting performance this up. I'm not going to lie.
Because you know how Sydney Sweeney does that? Like, she kind of mumbles.
Yeah, well, she talks like those. I can't
do it. And that's how Leslie was talking. And now this episode, she's like enunciating.
Well, Leslie showed up with a new freaking attitude, and we're going to get into that. But we open with WDLH News.
Purd Hapley.
Is that his name?
No, he's Purd from Parks and Recreation. Oh. And at first I was like, oh my God, we get this cameo. What? I can't believe we get a cameo like this in this episode.
And then you were like, whoa, double whoa.
Cameo.
Double whoa. Sarah Shepherd. Double woe for double S. Sarah Shepherd also makes a cameo. What can't she do? She's a newscaster. And basically, they are letting everybody know we have a surprise witness coming in to the Mona Vanderwall case with Allie D and the state of Pennsylvania.
I did like this line Sarah Shepherd said. She said, looks like one of Allie's classmates knew that her abduction was Pulp Fiction.
Yes, I actually, guys, if you missed it, posted a clip of it to our story because I thought it was iconic.
So we go to court, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania calls Leslie Stone to the stand. And I just want to say, this courtroom, I feel like, in the words of Caleb Rivers, is so ass backwards the way that everybody's operating. Leslie comes in from the back of the courtroom, which might be normal, but does feel strange. I feel like normally they have them like in the back behind where the judge
would
be.
There's something about this to me that I do think is normal, but I don't know that for sure. It is weird.
It just feels casual. It feels dangerous and reckless.
Wow.
But and it gets worse later on, but Leslie goes and takes the stand and
are we gonna comment?
Aria goes, where'd she come from? Why is it taking her so long to come back around? And Spencer says, she's probably been crossing the River Styx.
That's STYX, everyone.
I don't remember her being so mean that we thought she went back to the rivers of hell.
I thought the same thing. That's literally the like where you cross it from like death to life or something. That's like the river Styx. Like
it's like where the Grim Reaper takes you.
Yes. And Arya also gives Leslie the nastiest look. I'm like, thank God Leslie didn't make eye contact, because if she had, she would have melted.
Arya thinks that she is in like a confessional booth when she's in court.
Arya, this entire episode, thinks that she is like already in jail. She is acting in fucking sane. She's acting so selfish. Why are you trying to protect yourself so much when there are literally two other people behind bars who do not belong there?
And like, she's doing a really good job of throwing that into conversation just enough that her two friends are behind bars so that she doesn't look like she's entirely
oh my
selfish.
God. She's driving me up a freaking wall. So Leslie gets on the stand and we find out Mona sent her a card, and the card had said that Mona was having a hard time and she had been threatened by Allie. And actually, I'll include a direct quote. There was a threat that Mona reported to Leslie. She said, Allie told her, if you open your trap about the fake kidnapping, you'll be eaten by worms. And Leslie says, it's all in the card.
I know, because Allie, I think
did you really say that?
Rebecca goes hearsay, and Leslie. Oh, yeah. That's when Leslie goes, it's all in the car.
It's all in the car. It's all in the car. And she's like, well, the reason I didn't bring it yet is I just couldn't find it. I didn't take it seriously enough, and I wish I had. I just didn't realize what she was dealing with. Like, everybody has high school rivalries. I didn't think it would go like this.
Because this was sent 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So it was pretty predictive. And Arya truly, like, when she says, when Leslie starts crying and is like, I didn't take it seriously enough, we pan to Arya.
She's like gagging.
And she looks over at Emily and Spencer and she's like,
yeah. Arya like actually like, falls out of the chair. She falls out of the bench and she's like, sorry, I was startled by her blatant lies and how ugly she looks. She doesn't look ugly, but Arya was thinking that, you guys. I didn't say that. Arya was thinking it. So then Leslie's like, well, I have to say, like, when I was here, all those little bitches, you guys know the ones that dress insane given the circumstances.
the whole courtroom is like, oh yeah, we know.
They
the
all
moms.
Like turn their heads as spotlights go on enough. The girls. Yeah. They're like, she was like, yeah, I mean, they were all on edge when I came to visit and I was practically attacked by Mona's boyfriend because I tried to borrow a book. At which point I see this mangled ass hand grab Aria's. Smart Andrew, what are you doing here?
And also, I really don't believe you can just walk into a courtroom Phoebe, in the middle of a testimony.
I was just going to say that because I was like, okay, I know that I have OCD and I'm scared of shit, but I would have been pacing back and forth outside of the courtroom doors guys, being like, it's now a good time. I don't know if I should. Like, the judge is going to arrest me if I walk in at a rude time.
If I was scared to take out my book at the DMV, imagine how scared I would be trying to walk guys, into a courtroom while an active testimony is taking place.
I feel so, but the thing is, we're scared of different things here. And this is how differently our brains work. Because what Phoebe's scared of is like, actually just being embarrassed. I'm scared of being thrown into a cell with no key. There's no key on planet Earth. They made one of these cells. It has no windows. It's stone. It's completely stone. They said you can try clawing your way out with your fingernails. And before I went in, they chopped mine off.
This is like there's in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney. There's a in the
just
line,
like that. That's where they lock me.
There's a cell. There's a cell in line. It's like an interactive line. And so we're in line with Ryan because Mrs. Silverman said the wait wasn't like the wait sign said like 15 minutes. And so we went in thinking that wasn't that long that we had to wait. And Ryan is like really, really putting us to work in this line. And he's like acting. He's like doing all this stuff. He's pretending like he's hurt. He's not. He's doing all getting attention from all these people.
He's like,
and
you guys then, do this? You wait?
And then he literally, and then he like, Dan as a joke, like Ryan like goes into the cell and Dan like closes it. And then he opens it and like opens back up and it's fine when Ryan, like we get Ryan out. And then the people behind us in line do the same thing and it like locks.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you imagine if it had locked Ryan in? Ryan would have loved it. Ryan would have smiled ear to ear and he would have said, he locked me in here. And he would have caused a scene and had you guys like kicked out of the park for fun. Ryan, we love you. You're you're the bomb. Okay, so back to this. Leslie couldn't find the note, blah, blah, blah. Andrew comes in right as Leslie. And also, I'm sorry, I didn't really realize that Andrew and Aria were like fully Facebook
That's
official.
What I'm saying. Super crazy. Also, Leslie says Hannah was especially like... obsessed with
Phoebe,
Leslie.
I almost jumped into my iPad to beat her up in court. I almost did
and,
that.
Says that especially protective of the things in Mona's room and like was watching her like a watchdog.
Yeah, and Spencer's feeling like she's just looking. She's searching for a reason to talk to Caleb. And the second she hears Leslie say Hannah's name, she also falls out of the bench. And she's like, sorry. I just butt-dialed Caleb by accident. He's number one on my speed dial. I don't know what happened. I got to go.
This is another thing where I'm like, can you also just leave?
You certainly can't make a phone call and like hurry out and like look back like, girl, hey, oh, sorry. Like, I'm sorry, Spencer, where is the courtroom etiquette? Come on, I know your dad also gave you an etiquette
Where's
book
the
for Christmas.
Where's the bailiff?
Hello, bring in the Danston lobsters. How about me as lobster lady? Little me as lobster lady? Because, you know, I loved lobsters when I was like one or something. Mom and dad loved to be like, you loved lobsters and you hate them now. Why?
Is it? Maybe it was just that like mom and dad were buying you lobster themed things and you were in those things.
No, I liked eating them. They're like all these pictures of me in Boston as a baby, like going crazy eating lobster. Like I loved it apparently. And then as I grew up, I feel like lobster tastes a little bit too sweet to me.
I prefer crab.
Yeah, I do too. I don't love.
But I'm also just like lobster, never going to be that kind of girl who like sits down and wants to order the lobster.
No, that's
not
going to be me.
Like that.
You're
that's
so different. That's why we like
you. I'd rather
you.
Get like, I'd rather just get like a burger.
I'd honestly, I'm so insane. I might just order a cheeseburger and fries. Oh my God. And Phoebe might get a beer, a Miller Lite even. So anyway, Spencer's talking to Caleb. She's like, Hannah just got tossed under another wheel of another bus. Come on, let's go. And that's when Toby walks up. Awkward.
Caught red-handed.
Caught red-handed.
This is the third
caught red-handed.
Boy.
cheating. And I have to say also later on, Spencer says something about how like when Toby approaches her at this moment, they sort of, quote, danced around the fact that she's been in two other relationships. She's dated two other people since they didn't even break up. And Emily's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I also was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Too.
I forgot about Johnny for a second. Oh. And I was like, is she talking about Caleb?
Oh my God.
My God. Because she was on the phone with him when Toby walked up.
No, but I still think that Spencer saying that she dated two other guys
is insane.
Is a little much.
Spencer, you wish. Come on. Why are you trying to be a super slut?
And
with your skirt, with thing. Your little schoolgirl outfit. I'm not going to say, okay, I'm not going to lie. She's that, eating. She looks so good.
That is the Spencer Hastings.
It is one
outfit.
Of the best. And I, for some reason, I see that picture all the time of her in this
all
outfit.
All the time.
For some reason, I thought this outfit was from like season one.
I thought this outfit was
it's
from like
so
season seven.
Like, oh, I feel like it's so like classic Spencer. I'm shocked we haven't seen it before. I love it. It looks great, but it is very short skirt.
But Toby is immediately like the police, which I guess is the whole thing now. But he's like, he looks at Spencer and he's like, so did they take a recess or why
oh
the
my
fuck
God.
Are you out here?
He's like, I didn't take you for a slacker. Spencer's like so pissed also because the first thing he says to her is like, what's going on with the trial? And she's like, yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Like what? My friend, two of my friends are in jail. Like, yeah.
She's like,
and
I thought you would call.
I mean, and she's right. I do have to say she's fucking
no, totally.
Right. He's like, you
right.
haven't spoken to me. I thought like for sure the second Hannah ended up behind bars, you would call me. He's like, oh, well, your mom said you were in London. She's like, yeah, no, I was back. You could have tried. You didn't
here.
Even know I went to London. Doesn't that tell, like,
and
what?
Then he says, so how was Oxford? And she's like, get a load of this.
Spencer Hastings. Again, I didn't think you were giving all the signs of needing crate time until this moment. And now I'm like, okay, yep, the time okay. is nigh. Let's
and especially,
go.
Especially that scene in Rosewood High School. When she,
oh,
when Emily
she almost
basically
tackles poor Kendra.
When Emily basically has a leash on
I
Spencer.
I mean, Ella Montgomery later on is like, Arya, you're friends. And it's like, she's lumping Emily in there. She doesn't need to. Emily, you're trying to keep
Emily
a leash on a fucking dog that is rabid. Just let go. Okay,
Spencer
girl?
Spencer is the chain chomp.
Save yourself. Yeah. And Emily is the bolt and holding it into the ground.
When Spencer needs crate time, she's when the chain chomp is like, detaches from its chain for
exactly.
like a couple minutes
and then it, yes exactly yeah and then someone has to like shoot it down like that yeah. Anyway so she kind of like tells
Toby
him
Toby says an insane thing after she's like yeah blood went everywhere and a like followed me to London whatever and
she
Toby's
like laughs
like, you
about
called
it.
Me you should have called me is what
oh
Toby
what
said.
Would you have done Toby what would you have done Toby
you said Spencer well you shouldn't have gotten on that plane
it's insane. And then Emily comes running down and she's like,
she basically falls down the stairs.
Yeah. She's like, come on. And Spencer's like, what did Leslie say? And Emily says, I can't, there are barracudas with duller teeth, which is a great, Emily has some good lines as that
wait,
too.
Oh my God. I'm dying. This is what I heard.
Oh great. Here we go.
There are barracudas with dollar teeth. And so I thought that she meant that there were a bunch of like reporters upstairs
yeah.
so she didn't want to talk.
I love how inventive you are and how creative your brain is. I also love that if Phoebe would have said the line first, guys, and I would have said
no. This is that's not true because I
you don't know
thought
what
this
I'm gonna
was
say.
I know exactly what you're going to say. You're going to say if Phoebe had said the line first, then she would have ensured that she was right. But because
yes,
I said it
exactly.
First.
Yes, exactly. It's what always happens.
But that's not, that's, this would have been different because
but I'm always
I know
that right.
This, cause that, no, you're not.
I,
but with this
yes,
one.
Like 97% of the time.
You're infuriating. This line specifically I knew was bizarre and I had to like, I really had to do some mental gymnastics to figure out what it could
and I'm
going to
give you a tool you could use next time. Subtitles.
Closed captions. And I put those on when Caleb said his line later because I was like, if I write this down wrong and I say it wrong in the episode, I'm going to be crucified by Caroline.
Yeah, but then I never get my final day because then I listen to the episode and I'm like, oh, right. I need to look that up. And then I forget. And I'm like, but I'm always right. And I just never have to come back and like rub it in your face, but I could. Just want to let you
because,
know. I
it's
could.
Because I just let it go.
I'm always like, did she cut that out? Well, I listen back and went, and it's like I obviously hear that you stitched new audio over it, and it's using the right line.
What?
Yeah, you obviously edit your shit in post to make it right.
That is not true.
That's so true. Okay, moving
that
right along.
That would be way too much work.
So Allie, wait, I thought this was creative. Okay, Allie and Hannah are both on different payphones in the jail. And then the other three girls have two speaker phones out and the three of them are there so that they're all able to talk. Conference call.
And Allie's also iconic in this scene because as soon as we get to her on the phone, she goes, who even is this girl? Did she even go to our school? She's immediately
her line reads are excellent.
It's we get like glimpses into Allie still being like a 16-year-old.
I mean, literally, it's so funny when does she even go to our school? Because I've never even heard her name before today. And then someone's like, well, she's Mona's bestie. And she goes, yeah, bestie, you're going to be bothered to show up to her funeral. Like, whatever. But and Allie has Hannah's two good tired. References here. Hannah is tired. But I do have to reference these. Allie says, yeah, she brought that card that makes me look like Squeaky Frome. Do you know who that is? It's
no.
A fun reference. Okay. She was a member of the Manson family and she was not part of the official murders, but she was like in love with Charles Manson. So she tried to assassinate Gerald Ford, the president, for him. And she ended up in prison for life. And there's a musical called Assassins by Stephen Sondheim. It's one of the only ones I actually fucking like by him. Sorry. And
yeah, rest in peace.
Squeaky's in it.
I'm glad Caroline's so comfortable talking ill of the dead.
What is she? She has this song. It's like, I am the something to your love. Na, na, na. And it's all about Charles Manson.
I don't understand why Allie's saying she's that though.
She's saying like try to make it look like I was like a killer. But Squeaky Frome was also like this cute little girl, like who you kind of like imagined that she did that. Like this is her. Like she's just
and
like
that was like Manson's whole thing was getting girls that look like that to deal with the unimaginable.
Exactly. I can't what is this?
But Aria is like, I think Leslie is one of A's pawns. Like she thinks that maybe Leslie was sent in to do A's dirty work. And Hannah doesn't think that because Hannah says,
unworthy
no,
of your love.
She really cared about Mona. She really wants to see Allie fry.
I did think it like just to Hannah.
And we see Allie in the back when Hannah says, and she'd love to see Allie fry. Allie like looks behind her and is like, okay,
yeah,
awesome.
She's so annoyed. And she says, Allie's like, okay, well, what happened with Varjack? Like, do we have anything? Because I need something. I'm about to get life in prison because Mona wanted to use her last Laurel and Hardy stamp, which is, it's like some comedic duo, but that's so fucking funny to think that Mona just wanted to use a stamp. So she sent this letter and now Allie's going to get life in prison. Like just a very funny line. And Spencer
also
says
the
they tried everything.
Allie, I mean, I know Mona died because she was wrapped in this puzzle, but it is also kind of funny that Allie's going to spend life in prison because Mona couldn't break away from this puzzle.
I mean, literally, because she's addicted to it. Yes, precisely.
So we get this flashback because Allie says that, and this is where I'm like, Allie, I mean, I know it ends up coming to fruition that it's true, but I'm like, come on, girl. This
I'm also
is nothing.
Like, I'm like, okay, we get the flashback and we just get this and little image of this jacket. I literally wrote piece of fabric at first because it was so unclear what it was. And Allie does not describe it. She doesn't describe what it looks like to the girls. So later when Emily sees the jacket hanging out of someone's backpack, she's like, oh my God. I'm like, how the hell do you know that's the jacket? Like this feels like a reach.
I would have known it. But we get this flashback. Allie's at the playground on Thanksgiving and she calls Cyrus and is like, I've been
here
for an
hour. Where the hell are you?
Literally, that's
her classic move.
And then she starts hearing the wind and she starts freaking out.
And
she starts
sees
hearing
this
the wind
jacket.
Like move things.
And like and she thought it was A.
Or I guess.
But
she
doesn't know.
She's
like, maybe. Who knows? Like, but it could be somebody.
But I noted that Allie drives a Porsche SUV.
Okay, girl. In my Porsche with the Carter back.
So now the girls are like, why did you run away? Why didn't you like approach whoever you thought it was? And she's like, I thought it was A. And now she thinks it was someone else. And it's just like, this is nothing, but Emily loves nothing.
And then the call gets cut off. So it's
and then
like
we go to Montgomery
classic.
Mausoleum, and Aria also needs crate time because she's sitting. I think she's trying to give herself crate time, but she can't. And she hears Mike like getting ready to leave to go to practice, and she shoots out of her chair, throws her door open, grabs Mike by the scruff of his neck, throws him in her room, and says, "Where the hell have you been?
She trashed you."
So funny.
She totally trashed you.
And Mike is so mad now that, like, his name is... He's like, "I'm going to be dragged into this, and I'm, like, grieving my girlfriend." So he's fully prepared to go in and testify, and Aria is shutting that shit down. She says, "Absolutely not. You have to keep what you know to yourself. You need to have three answers. Yes, no, and I don't remember."
Mike says, he's like, why didn't you defend me? I need you to be in there defending me. And Aria in that moment was like, "I can't do for you what I did for Jason last week. I can't stand up in the middle of this courtroom
again. Do you know how exhausting that was for me? Do you know how emotionally taxing that was?
I got in trouble with the bailiff because apparently that's not allowed. Apparently it's not like a wedding."
And I don't really care about that. Like, I've always been one to color outside the lines. Like, I'm not afraid of that. And you know that. But it's just not a good time for us to be drawing attention. I didn't tell you, but you might have noticed something different about me ever since last year. My skin, it sparkles a little bit. That's because I have the skin of a killer, Mike. It's true. I killed somebody, Shauna Fring, and I watched her funeral at school, and someone knows I did. And I'm worried that this is all going to come out. So you can't say shit in court.
And Mike's like, "Bring it on."
Mike's like, "I'm emancipating myself. Fuck this family." Like, if I'm Mike, I'm like, "I'm outie." Like, this is so annoying.
To jail, and Hannah and Allie are doing everything in their power to draw attention to themselves.
They are cracking me up. Rebecca, later on, when she like, she's like, "You're like, I'm sorry, you can't even pass notes right." Like, which that just tells me that Allie has not been in high school for very long, because yes, she has not figured out how to pass notes. Pro. Yeah,
Rebecca apparently was in Friends.
What?
Someone commented that on one of our posts.
Oh, she was. Like, she looks really familiar.
Yeah, I'm not like a Friends girl.
I should just send her picture to Caitlin, and Caitlin will probably identify her within 30 seconds.
Perfect. So Allie's like doling out the clothes for people jumpsuits in the jail. Okay, Caroline can't even humanize them. I just like to call them clothes.
I just didn't want anyone to think we were having a fashion show. It's like Allie's thing.
And Hannah is like being so slow trying to get these code words from Mona to Allie, and the security guard is like, "Girls, there are only two sizes," to which I say, "Good thing I'm never gonna be in jail."
To which I say, "What?" To which I say, "These conditions are inhumane."
Whatever and happened to no cruel and unusual punishment?
What the hell? What are they?
Oh my
what
god. And
now are the sizes?
Now I have to go into prison reform. Great. Now the podcast is over.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the penultimate episode that ended up to be the finale. That was foreshadowing in the beginning when I said that. That was foreshadowing. I need to open a window. I am sweating. It's freaking hot in here.
Oh my God. Right. Because it's 80 million degrees in October, which is crazy. So Allie gives Hannah a note back in her clothes that says, "Come back tomorrow at whatever time." And then we go to the Rosewood Police Department, and it's Toby and Lieutenant Tanner, LTB in my notes. And she goes, "Hey, King, I need you to go on a coffee run."
Sorry.
What?
Sorry. I thought I heard you just try to give her a new name.
Caroline basically just almost did like
I just did a dive.
Gymnastics jump across her chair. And
that's because I thought you tried to rename Lieutenant Butterscotch, and then I realized you said LTB. So I'm sorry.
Instead of a BLT. LTB.
Okay, well, don't do that. Don't try to make it like creative, like your own thing. Like, it's done. Okay.
No,
you
it's can not.
Give
it's
someone else a name. Give someone else a name.
It's just Lieutenant Butterscotch.
Oh my
LTB.
God. No, I know, but I know.
Anyway, Toby's all pissed.
He's freaking like, pissed.
What do I gotta do around here to get a case?
He goes, what do I look like to you, an assistant? She's like, yeah. Can you go get the fucking coffee? So Mike comes home. All right. Something
Wait, by
I
the way,
need to say.
It becomes clear that Lieutenant Butterscotch knows that Toby let his girlfriend go the night of the gallery theft. Which, by the way, Spencer, can I remind you that I know you're so pissed at Toby for being on your back, but you would be in jail already. I know you're going to be in jail by the end of the episode, but you would already be there.
Like, Spencer, your boyfriend caught you, one, breaking the law and he's a cop, and two, cheating. And he didn't arrest, he let you go. So I think you gotta just take the L on this one. You just gotta like pretend that night didn't happen, girly. Because if you wanna stay in this relationship.
Toby goes, is this about the night at the gallery? And I'm like, Toby, if I'm you, I'm never bringing it up again.
Never bringing
and
it
she
up.
She goes, why would it be about the night at the gallery?
Yeah, why?
You made an arrest.
Yeah. You did a good job, like, right?
He's like, right. Uh-huh. Perfect. Woof. Anyway, so Mike, let me go to Aria's.
I have a qualm with this. Mike comes home with a package. Aria's working on the yearbook staff now because her mom thinks it will distract her from the trial, whatever.
Wait, I do want to say, Aria, are you doing the yearbook because your mom told you to or because of that little woe is me party you had a couple weeks ago?
What?
When she was just looking, her woe is me party, her pity party she had for herself, looking through the yearbook and listening to sad music.
Well, yeah, no wonder she needs a quote. She realized she had nothing at all last time. Yeah. True. Well, Mike comes in with this package, though. And Aria's like, oh, can you give me the keys? And, like, starts opening
Wait. She goes, hand me your keys, would you?
Sorry for butchering that line.
Why would she say that?
I don't know, Phoebe. Because she needed the keys. Because she needed them. And she talks like she's in an old-timey movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, sorry. She opens a package. Don't be annoyed with me. If I don't say this thing, I have to get it out of my mouth. And I've now been trying for 5 minutes, okay? So just let me say it. I just think it's weird. We're still opening packages. Like, it's not going to be something insane.
That's a good point.
You get a massive package, and you're like, oh, hand me the keys like this. You're going to open it in the living room? I'm going either upstairs or I'm going into a room with plastic on the floor in case. And that's what you should have done, bitch. That's what you should have done.
Because she opens it and she takes out like this thing of papers. And then there's this other thing. And Mike says, what is that smell? To which I say, that's Aria's cue to go, oh, let me take this up to my room.
This is not a living room activity. Oh, okay.
No, yeah. Instead she's like, wait, that's so weird that would smell.
That would smell weird. And then he pulls a knife out of the box that has attached to the end of the knife a gigantic massive fucking tongue. And Aria says, this gift was for you. Next time it's gonna be your tongue on the porch. And then Ella walks in and Aria immediately deflects and like distracts. But like, don't you wish we had a more attentive parent here? Don't you wish, like, Aria is really good at like, well, you know, good as in quotes, but she's good at pretending like this shit isn't happening. Mike,
kind of.
His poker face probably isn't quite as good yet. And so I feel like Ella, if you were attentive, if you paid more attention to your daughter than fucking Kendra, I think that you would be like, what's going on with Mike? Okay, Mike's going to go eat. I'm going to go in there and like try and figure out what's going on and crack this kid. Exactly. Like, what the hell?
No. We go to the brew and Aria's back on the Ezra train because Ezra has something she needs. His cabin. And she is telling him all about the tongue and is like, Ezra says, you need to take that tongue to the police right now. And she goes, Hannah already made that mistake. And now she's behind bars. Fuck off, Aria. It's number one, it's you, Emily, and Spencer's fault that it had to be a mistake. And Caleb, I'll throw him in there too. Because nobody thought to save their messages or have a hard drive.
I know. And then Caleb finally starts thinking about preserving evidence and it gets thrown in his fucking face, dude. I can't. But I have to say, with this Aria Ezra thing, did you notice what she's wearing? This insane outfit she's wearing?
It says Trace Chic.
She's wearing a neon pink short sleeve shirt that says Trace Chic and like big block letters. And then she has on a black skater skirt that's pulled up. And then she has on this white and gold chain choker necklace. And her hair is all done.
This in fifth grade.
Yeah, she's like totally done up. And I also, I'm thinking to myself, imagine like just getting dressed in the morning, putting together these insane outfits with everything going on in your life. And that's it. Be fucking for real. You woke up this morning and you're like, I got a cow's tongue sent to me last night. And my brother's roped into this and my best friends are in jail. But I look freaking cute today. Like, what the hell are you doing putting together these outfits?
Imagine,
you know?
Like doing the clasp on your necklace as this is all happening, or putting mascara on, like doing these things that are like monotonous parts of getting dressed.
They're doing them every day.
Spencer puts on her pleated fucking skirt. Yes. Honestly, but this outfit, I believe, was an easy one for Spencer
Me
to pick
too.
Out because it's
she's
it's
probably like, this is one of my old uniforms. That's why I was too sure. She's like, I don't have time to put together an outfit. I haven't done laundry in weeks. I'll wear this.
I haven't really noticed in the picture that always comes up when you Google Spencer Hastings outfits. I didn't notice how short the skirt was. It
Me
looks
neither.
Like uncomfortably
when
short
she
for
bends
her.
Over to look into like the pipe. I was like, girl, like, I hope no one is behind you. Are you not freezing? You not feel
because
a bit of a
what?
Chill back there?
So you're apparently Allegheny County is very close to where you are. And if Allegheny is close to where you are, that means that George O'Connell is somewhere behind you saying, and that is
that
just not
is,
a good look.
And that is just not a good look. And maybe is that the look I'm asking? Because I don't know. Okay, so Arya wants Ezra to talk to Mike and help him get out of town to go to the cabin. I do think it's insane that like Arya's parents, like everyone's just like, oh yeah, like that's fine. Like, I just think it's crazy. And he doesn't answer right away. And she's like, okay, forget it. Never mind. And he says, don't read silence as a no. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. To which she responds, you and Mike or you and me? And Ezra makes a face that I also made, which is like, what? Like, what are you talking about? You sound insane right now. Of course, Arya, him and Mike.
Arya, this had literally
nothing
almost zero
to
do
with
you.
He's like, yeah, I'll pick him up at 4. He doesn't even like entertain that. He's like, I'm not okay. I'll be there at 4. So that is
because
happening.
They broke up, and he looked at his birth certificate and was like, wait,
yeah,
wait,
yeah.
What?
Wait, what? So here is where we get
the
scene
playground.
We just talked about with Spencer and Emily,
and Allie and Hannah don't know that Emily and Spencer are there. And this is just like and by the end of the episode, this was confirmed for me. But this was just like we needed a storyline for Troyan and Shay.
This whole like youth group thing was kind of unnecessary, except for that identifiable patch. But I feel like,
but then by the time we get to the resolution of that, it like doesn't come to anything.
Yeah,
because they don't even use her.
Is there any chance? Okay, so I'm jumping around a little bit, but while they're here at the tubes, someone comes up and asks if he can help them. And they say they want to talk to someone who might have spent a lot of time here. And he says that his church bought the lot. They're here all the time, whatever. And that they're doing a homeless supper and they need volunteers. Emily looks repulsed by this idea. She's
I know. I was like, whoa.
Like, it's kind of an insane reaction. But that's how they figure out this youth group is here. And I guess they see that they're all wearing these shirts with, like, this symbol on them to show that they're part of the church. So later when we're in the hall and we were talking about how Spencer, like, almost tackles Kendra because they see the jacket hanging out of her backpack. She's also wearing a jean jacket that
has
the symbol.
The back.
I know. So I'm saying, but we were just talking about how like they did not see that jacket long. They never saw it. So how would they know that was a jacket? So I'm wondering if that was just for us and like they actually just saw the symbol and that's why.
But we do get like such a close up shot
of the jacket,
the shawl specifically. And that's when Spencer jumps out of her skin.
I know.
And
but then they're like, oh, we saw the thing on your jacket, on your. So we know you're there.
Yeah.
So
I
don't
also
know.
Wonder if maybe the flashback is like, while we were watching the flashback, Allie was describing.
Would have been nice to know.
The shawl to
because
them.
We did hear her talking the whole time.
So, yeah, all that happens at the playground. There's zero help, essentially. We go to the yearbook, and Arya's talking to this girl. And she is trying to use this, I guess, as a way to prove that she's a good writer because she says, actually, only 26 words are allowed on these. And if you need help editing, I can. And the girl tears the clipboard from Arya's hands and starts like crossing out all this stuff on her page, hands it back to Arya and like rolls her eyes. I'm like, okay, wait, maybe it's not an Arya thing. It's a Rosewood-wide epidemic that these are the rudest people in the world.
No. I think it is an Arya thing. I think everyone at this fucking school hates Arya. And they walk up and they're like, God, shut the fuck up. Okay. Like they just can't stand her.
We know you
because it's also
English teacher.
It's so funny that she's like, if you need any editing suggestions, like shut the hell up. You're barely in school, Arya. And then Andrew, smart Andrew, comes and scares the shit out of Arya.
He's like the way he comes into the back of the frame gave me such creeps because he like
it's like Randall
like
from Monsters Inc.
and pushes himself up onto the desk and he's got these doe eyes that you know that he's doing and he thinks he looks like so innocent and sweet and he's like this like nice guy
and he doesn't say this but he might as well say like hey you like it gives that like the kind of person would say that which we hate of course
we hate
but Arya never called him back. She says she was like dealing with some family stuff. And he's like,
she says, you scared me. And he goes, you never called me back. What happened to hello?
And it actually, hey, Andrew, that scared me more. That your immediate response to me saying hi was, and that you scared me was like, you.
Don't worry, guys. Andrew's allowed not to answer the phone whenever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, no, he's allowed.
When he's doing some archery practice.
Ooh, So she reveals that Ezra, she's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I like ended up asking Ezra if he would take Mike up to the cabin. And smart Andrew's like, why the fuck would you ask Ezra that? Like, I can bond with him too. Oh, great. Ezra's got mom and pop on his side too, huh? He's like so jealous. And Arya's like, okay, enough. Like, stop it. And I just want to say, Arya, girl, if you didn't like attention so much, you could have nipped this in the bud. You didn't have to let him think you guys are like he's supposed to be embedded in your family. Yeah. Like, you could have stopped this from happening. You don't even like the guy. Or so I thought, because then I was like, he's coming on a little strong. And then they fully kiss on the mouth and she initiates it right in front of someone waiting in line. Imagine in someone waiting in line. Arya's ignoring all the people in line. Her mom's like, Arya. And there's this person staring, like glaring at her like, hello, I have somewhere to be. Arya looks at him, goes back to Andrew and is like, huh, I'm sorry. I'll be better. Okay. And then gives him like a slow kiss on the mouth before turning to the person who's still right in front of her, less than 2 feet away. Like, that might as well have been like a three-way kiss is how close you guys were. That was fucking weird, Arya.
Andrew is creeping me out so much. Yes. And when he has a line where like, she's like, well, Mike like really bonded with Ezra after Mona died. And he goes, I could bond with Mike. You don't need a teaching degree to do that.
He's like, I killed Mona. Okay. I should be the one bonding with Mike. I'm just pretty sure Andrew did it at this point. I think Leslie and Andrew did it together.
Oh, wow. I want to hear more about that.
That's like where I am right now. Rosetta Stone. Back in 2022, I traveled to Rome with my husband for our honeymoon, and the trip was incredible. But with all the chaos leading up to our wedding, time to learn the Italian language grew scarce. We always intended to learn at least some Italian before getting on the plane, but every time we tried, something got in the way. But now, I'm using Rosetta Stone and learning Italian so that our next trip to Italy is even more amazing.
Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Personally, I'm most excited to learn Spanish so that I can appreciate Spanish-speaking TV shows and Spanish pop culture to the fullest.
Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, Korean, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more.
And it can help you learn a language fast. There are no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And the process is super intuitive and designed for long-term retention.
Rosetta Stone also features a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. A built-in dialect coach? Count me in.
Rosetta Stone is so convenient, so flexible, and the best part is the value. Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership featuring all 25 languages. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. An absolute steal.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. The Pretty Little Podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off with code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at rosettastone.com/today.
Mochi Health. Phoebe, have you ever had a doctor who just didn't listen to you?
Who hasn't?
Good question. Well, Mochi Health understands that weight loss can be a frustrating and seemingly impossible journey, and they're not just listening, they're taking action.
They're taking a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visits with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and science-backed medications delivered right to your front door.
With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle.
Mochi Health is making it easier to make sustainable changes and achieve real weight loss results with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians.
And the best part is that it's affordable and accessible regardless of your insurance coverage.
Well, actually, the best part is that Road Warriors can use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
Oh my God, you are so right. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off.
And in case you missed it, that's joinmochi.com and use code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for $40 off. Hormone harmony. Yes, Road Warriors, the rumors are true. Sometimes when I hop on to record the pod, I am a little cranky, and that's thanks to PMS. Obviously, talking with Caroline cheers me up, but sometimes even that's not enough.
Well, Phoebe, it's a lot easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony, along with so many other things. And I love that it supports cortisol levels and helps balance my mood swings. Yes, I also sometimes experience those. And obviously, I benefit from the improved sleep quality.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and they're amazing because they literally help the body adapt to any stressors. Which makes sense because Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier because women's stories matter. It has zero sugar, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested.
And Phoebe, did you know a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds?
Actually, I did know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm the one who told you.
Anyway, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com, and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today. So then we go to the jail, and Caleb is visiting, and Hannah is, like, really beaten down.
Phoebe,
like,
this really was beaten down. A hard watch. My heart was aching.
I'll let you take it away. Okay, you go for fine.
So Caleb's talking to Hannah, and he's just like, listen, this all seems pretty convenient. Like, she's making you and your friends look like a coven of witches, which I think is hilarious. I'd be like, okay, sick. Thanks. And she's like, okay, no, I know, like, Hannah is just having such a hard time. All she wants is to just spend time with her boyfriend. She tells him, like, I only get 30 minutes with you a week. I don't want to spend 28 of them talking about this. To which Caleb responds, let's talk about Mike. And it's like, okay, and you heard nothing. Got it.
Literally.
But it's sad because it's like, you see just how bad Caleb wants to help Hannah. He's like, I can't do nothing. I have to help you. And she's like, this is what would help me, is you just fucking talking to me and distracting me from my life. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what would help me. And she says she wants to leave Mike out of it. And this is what killed me. He's like, why? And she goes, because he's a kid. Oh, dude, so it's are like, Hannah, you?
You're a kid. And then I don't know if this was intentional, but after she says he's a kid for the second time, the cut between when she says that he's a kid for the last time, we go to the high school where we see, like, these two extras like running around the hallways like laughing, and it's like, whoa.
I know, it's so sad.
Hannah's in prison,
and right under that I wrote, Spencer should be dress coded. Hannah's in prison and Spencer needs to be dress coded. Okay, hello, reality check. Two sides of the same coin is what I was trying to say, but then I started saying two sides of a different coin, but I was like, that Caroline, what are you saying? And I yeah. So anyway,
we're gonna start attack making that Kendra now. Which is a way of saying, like, two different things. That is two sides of two different coins.
That is two sides of a different coin. I don't know what coin, but a different one. Now there's
like
one.
A quarter and a penny.
Different one. Yeah. So Spencer, they see the jacket or the emblem. Who knows?
This was so funny.
It is. So you go ahead.
Spencer sees it and may as well. She's like a kid seeing Santa in the mall for the first time.
I feel like Emily grabs her midair.
Screams. Yeah. She jumps in the air. Yeah. She gasps.
And
Emily's
like, your skirt is too short for you to be running this fast, Spencer.
You look Emily's like, been like trying to tell her that all day. She's yeah. Sir.
And Spencer's always a little bit too far away, too out of reach because she's running so fast. She just like just missed it. She can't hear it.
And Emily's like, Spencer, stop. Let me handle this. You can just be a little bit too aggressive sometimes.
Spencer's like, I am an Aries. Thank you so much. So Emily approaches Kendra and she's like, hey, are you part of the youth group? And Kendra starts acting crazy, like super flighty. She doesn't want to talk to these girls, whatever. And
like
then
too crazy.
If you didn't want people to know Kendra, come on.
I know. And then Ella Montgomery walks into the hall and Kendra goes, I told you not to tell your daughter. Like, I can't believe you. She told her fucking friends. And I'm like, okay, now it's the second person at school who fucking hates Aria. We are getting a picture painted here, people.
Wait, that's so funny. I knew she would tell her friends.
Yeah. Completely.
And then that girl can't keep a secret for the life of her. We literally all knew she was dating her English teacher.
Yes. She like wouldn't shut up about it.
And then she acted weird when we would bring it up.
Yes. Later on, Ella is standing in Aria's room and she's like, so she's actually acting as creepy as she ever has. Like, she's like, so have you heard from Mike? Mm-hmm. And Aria's like, I'm just looking for a quote for the yearbook. And her, she's like, well, you've had an eventful few years. Sure, it's easy to think something. And then she goes, Emily and Spencer had no right to corner that girl.
She does say, she does suggest that Aria uses a Hamlet quote for her quote.
I'm like, for and which character? Aria, Ophelia or Hamlet?
And then Aria says, more like Frankenstein, to which I say, no, Hamlet seems about right for you, Aria.
I mean, but if my mom was suggesting that I use a quote from Hamlet, where the whole thing is like Hamlet goes fucking insane and Ophelia kills herself. So like, which one, mom?
Our high school was so weird about the like typical high school traditions that it didn't pick to do. Like we didn't have, and I'm glad we didn't have quotes because I feel like that would be mortifying like 10 years down the line.
I would love to see what everyone would have picked. That would have been so entertaining.
It would have been. But like there were just like little things like that that our high school didn't do. Like the rest of the
school. What would your quote have been, do you think?
I don't know. Probably something so insufferable.
Mine would have been popsick. Yeah, that is what yours would have been. Mine would have been popsick. Squish. Cicero. Lipschitz. He had it coming. That's what mine would be. And it wouldn't be embarrassing. It actually wouldn't be embarrassing because anyone who's anyone would know. They'd be like, oh, and this is a callback to her famous cabaret performance where she did Cell Block Tango and almost got suspended. I didn't, but they were like, Caroline, guys, you're too slutty. And I was like, thank you.
There were three ways to get suspended at Mount Lebanon High School. One, grind at a dance. Two
show up in costume and don't tell anyone who you are.
Called on you.
Three. Do the Cell Block Tango at the Mount Lebanon High School Cabaret. Good luck, people.
It was either really easy to get suspended or incredibly difficult.
Hard. And the hard one there, you guys, is obviously the 7-minute Broadway number, Cell Block Tango. Good luck getting it past the faculty again. Good luck. I ruined it for you.
You should have one of your students do that.
Well, my students are now all auditioning for cabaret next week. And so we are working on cabaret right now.
Oh my goodness. So, Caroline, why don't you talk about what Ella says to Aria?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. So Ella's like, Emily and Spencer had no right to corner that girl. And Aria screams at her mom. Aria is like, literally, she goes, well, you won't tell me what she did. She's so fucking mad. She says, well, how was I supposed to find out, mom? They had to ask her. You won't tell me. And Ella's like, okay, fine. Just immediately tells her. I'm like, okay. So Kendra was 1,000% right. Ella's like, she went to a party. This is the weirdest story, too. Ella goes, Kendra went to a party the night before Thanksgiving. She experimented with a drug that was cut with speed and had a bad reaction.
I'm not making fun of you before you, how you could breathed you? In. When you breathed in to do that, you went... you breathed in and looked at the microphone and I've never seen your eyes so crossed.
You're so mean.
And you don't normally cross your eyes. It was jarring.
I'll do it if I want to. And by the way, mom thinks Kristen Bell is cross-eyed. So that's actually a good look. Thanks. It's actually a gorgeous look. Thank you.
I do need to have a talk with mom about
you
that.
You do. Thank you.
Because we still haven't talked about it.
But I need to finish the story. She experimented with a drug that was cut with speed and had a bad reaction. So she hid out at the playground until she was sober enough to come home and pass the Cranberries. No, not the band, not the musical group. Her family, I guess. I guess her name's Kendra Cranberry.
No, like pass the Cranberries at dinner. Guys, every 100 episodes of the Pretty Little Podcast,
I make
a moment like that. I have a moment like that where Caroline gets to feel like Spicoli for once.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I literally thought about that for a long time.
You go.
Not the musician,
guys. Yeah. Not like the band. I guess that's her last name.
I was like insane that her name is Kendra Cranberry. That's a crazy name. That sounds like a Riverdale name, not a Pretty Little Liars name. It does.
While they were Googling like townships and counties in Pennsylvania, they came across Cranberry and got inspired.
Yeah, literally. Wait, and
I always was like, isn't it crazy we have a cranberry and a plum?
Yeah, no, so true.
And a moon and a Mars.
Okay, that is true. None of those, I mean, some of those things aren't related, but yeah.
Well, moon and Mars and plum and
yes,
cranberry.
No, I thought you were insinuating that all four are fruits or planets. I was like, I don't know which one she thinks they are, but
they're all,
who's to say, you guys? If spherical. Phoebe thinks they're all, oh, there you go. You're good at categories, there you go, on the New York Times Games app, haha. So then Ella says, you'd be surprised. Ari goes, why would she tell you that? And Ella goes, you'd be surprised what students confide to their favorite teachers. Or maybe you wouldn't.
And Aria
doesn't react at all. She goes, anyway. She just moves right on.
Aria, you were just read for filth. Aria, you were just read for absolute filth.
It's so fucking funny. The look she does too, I literally paused, rewound, filmed it, sent it to Phoebe because my jaw dropped. And that's not even like the craziest thing that is going to happen, you guys.
No. And so basically she's like, Kendra was a good kid. She made a mistake. I don't want her to like have to. She didn't mention seeing Allie, so none of it even matters.
And she's like, I don't know why you believe Allie so much.
She goes, look, Mom, Kendra's not the only good kid who made a mistake.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess that's true.
That is where Ella's like, okay, but why do you believe anything Allie's? I mean, I do get Ella's point. I'm like, if I'm Ella, I'm like, yeah, and Allie made mistakes that now she has to pay for in a different way because they involve taking someone's life. Like, that's what Ella thinks. So we have to remember that, Aria. And I do think
the kids forget that. The parents all are like, no, I could see Allie doing that.
100%. They forget that, like, they haven't clued their parents in, really. So Mike and Ezra get to the cabin. And Caleb.
This scared me. This is the first jump scare of the episode.
Yes, not the last. Well, smart Andrew. Don't forget that. That might have been the first one.
Second.
This is the second. Caleb's just sitting in there, and Ezra's like, what are you doing here? And Caleb says, I'm here for a reality check. Your sister's very scared, and she gave you bad advice to Mike.
He goes, I thought you'd get freaked if the lights were on. So he's just been sitting there in the dark.
And I don't get freaked in the dark. I'm not scared of the dark. I was homeless when I was 7. Yeah. I was making $11 stretch for an entire week. Yeah. Z.
Which, by the way,
no,
guys, is exactly
I don't get scared of a little dark. Exactly where he goes with it. Yeah. Me, on the other hand, I'm saving my haunted house story for Tuesday, or my scary ghost tour story for Tuesday, for once I've like had the full experience, lived it. But just so you guys know, I did get asked to substitute tour, host some walking ghost tours in Pittsburgh this weekend. That include going into like abandoned buildings where there's no electricity or heat and it's self-illuminated and there are videos of like crazy things happening and apparently, quote, people crap themselves, and I'll be leading it. I think I might add in to the beginning of the tour for a little levity. I might say, and you guys actually are really lucky. You have a really special experience today because you
get to host.
Can I finish what I'm saying? You always do this when I'm in the middle of the joke and it kills the joke, but what?
Okay, tell the joke.
No, now it's killed. What?
Well, I thought that this was... Do you remember that ghost tour you went on in Boston where the tour guides were...
Oh, yeah.
Acting?
No, it's not like that.
I thought you were going to like be in character this whole... I thought you were going to be like playing a ghost.
No, it's just me. I'm leading the tour. I am the tour guide. I'm showing up in normal-ass clothes.
I thought you were acting. That's why I thought you were asked. This gets weirder. How did your name get thrown in
Chloe
this hat?
Chloe was like, how the fuck do you find yourself in these situations? And I was like, I don't know, but I was like, I'm not going to say no. This is such a good
this
story for the pod.
This isn't a storyline on Broad City. This isn't a Lana storyline.
Well, and that must be why people famously made those connections. I don't always see it, but then something like this happens. And I'm like, okay. I just like woke up to a message on Facebook that was like, hey, Caroline, like got this thing. could you? And I was like, well, famously, I am the worst at being scared. I act crazy.
Yeah, but in case you guys forgot, there was this one time where she did a haunted house and almost walked out of there with a restraining
in
order.
Handcuffs, yeah. But sure, I'll lead two sold out ghost tours this weekend. They're
sold
in carton.
Sold out. They weren't sold out before Caroline's name was attached to them.
I wish. I honestly was like, it would be so funny if I could share the link on our podcast thing. And if any road warriors came, like, I would actually feel so much better. I would feel so much safer, but they're sold out, so I can't. Anthony can come for free, which is like, thank God they're letting him sneak in. But I'm going to have a binder. I don't have to memorize it, but it will be me speaking and leading people. You know where I did Hairspray?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the buildings, that library.
Can Anthony live stream it?
Shut up. I have to walk up this like big ass hill with everyone to the haunted library where like books fly out of the stacks. Then there's one place we're going to, like the third and fourth floor of this old building where she said they've been abandoned for 90 years and are in a beautiful state of decay. And they both have like old pianos and there's no electricity, no heat. Everyone will have to like use their phones for light. And she says people freak the hell out. She said we'll be ending in a small cemetery where the couple that lives next door, they're really into historical LARPing. And she asked me if I knew what LARPing was. And unfortunately, I did have to say, yes, I do know what LARPing is. Live action role playing. Yeah. And she said they let this couple know they were going to be coming through with ghost tours so they wouldn't be like scared of the flashlights and stuff. And they were like, oh, well, we do historical LARPing. Do you want us to dress up? And she was like, no, like, that's fine. And then, like, they were doing a tour, and this couple is just standing in the window of their apartment in their historical garb, like, to freak people out. She said people were, like, crapping themselves. She used the word crapping. So.
And that is so Pittsburgh.
I'm doing it Friday and Saturday night. And I mean, literally, like.
Well, you get to do the tour tonight, don't you?
No, I'm going tomorrow, and it'll be, like, a daylight time. So I'm not, like, it's me and the girl.
Because yes, I think if she brought you through tonight, she'd be like, oh,
is I honestly, yeah, idea? I am like, if I'm in charge, like, I think it's the kind of thing when, like, you know, when you're babysitting and it's like when the ceiling caves in and you think you heard a noise and you're like, okay, I have to be brave because I'm in charge. I'm the oldest sister. So you're like, Phoebe, Phoebe, are you okay? Okay, let's go check it out. You first.
Like, what if after she, as soon as Caroline found out that at least she still wasn't positive that our house wasn't bombed, but she knew that the side of the house wasn't bombed and that I was alive. As soon as she knew that I was alive,
she's like, well, if your legs are working, then you better get down there.
You go first.
If you're fine, then you better go check this out. I already did the hard part. I already let them know there are people in the house. I yelled your name.
So Caleb and Ezra start yelling at each other about like growing up poor and growing up rich, and Ezra's like, just because your life was hard, his has to be.
Yeah.
And Caleb's like, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
He's like, well, if Caleb's or if Hannah's life is hard, then yeah, other people's lives have to be hard too.
And
wait,
Ezra,
but I have
make
to say,
Ezra.
Okay, go ahead. No, you're gonna say what I'm about to say. I know it.
Ezra said, oh, I don't know. Ezra's like, will you be there for the fallout? Will
oh,
you be
mind.
There? Or will you only be there for Hannah? I was just gonna say what Ezra said.
Well, I was just going to say right before that, he's like, Mike, go get the bags from the car, whatever. And he's talking to Caleb and Caleb's like, why are you, whatever, doing this? I don't know what Caleb says, but Ezra goes, he's 16 and says it like in this growl. And I was like, so is Aria. Like, she's not right now, but she was, girl. She was.
Like, she's younger than that.
You can't
younger
be yelling shit like, it's 16. We should treat him like a kid. Because if we're going by that school of thought, then you belong behind bars too, Z. And then you can't help.
And so Mike takes the car to leave. And Caleb and Ezra basically do that thing that cartoons do when they, like, try to run so fast, but that their legs stay in the same place. That's
it
what
low-key,
happens
it
second.
Looks like what Spencer did when she saw Kendra in the hall.
Yes.
Her feet so flew out from underneath her. That's, like, what it is.
We go to the Hastings, like, how Sid runs. I love when Sid tries to run so
it's
fast.
Like, the road
the
runner, and they're just in place for a while.
And he's just,
drama does it, too.
And Elvis used to do it too.
It's cute.
We go to the Hastings Castle, and
what the
Spencer
hell was this
says,
about?
The
hey,
like, well, I truly think they were just filling time. What the hell is this?
I hope this was improv or something, because that's the only way it's funny. Because otherwise, what
it's like,
the fuck?
It's like, is this improv? But
was
they
Kendra
have
just
the
late?
Pitcher.
Like
they have
of tomato
the
sauce of tomato of thick.
Because
I'm like,
Spencer,
you need a spoon
says,
for that. You need a spoon for that
and pasta.
Yeah.
Spencer says, Spencer's like, Do you want any tomato? Well, is tomato juice okay? Yes.
Which also, like, no. When is tomato juice ever okay for a refreshing after school beverage? Never.
And, like, and also it's nighttime. And Emily goes, yeah, whatever is fine. And I'm like, she's, what happened?
She's exasperated. She's like, I love tomato juice. You know that. She's acting like Spencer offered her, like, water. Like, something everybody literally would like to have. Like, and then and Spencer's like, okay, well, you might off? Care. You might care because this is actually, it could be sauce. As it's, like, coming out in full chunks. It's, like, barely, like, she can't get it to pour out.
It's, and like, then wait, should we pan dispenser it to her? And she's holding a Ragu container and then like, pouring it into
she's
cups.
Like, now, is this juice or sauce? And that's how we know Spencer's never cooked. Yeah. Spencer's never had to cook for herself. And that's when she tells Emily that she saw Toby and they danced around the fact that she's essentially dated two other people. And when Emily questions, she's like, okay, choose spontaneous kisses. But, like, it felt really good to be with someone who wanted to be with me. And she does have, like, a sad little moment, and it's a good acting moment from Troy. And Emily goes, close mouth or open. And so there's this
drink your juice. Drink your sauce.
Drink your sauce, yeah. And then Kendra knocks on the door. Kendra crossed the moat.
Okay, same thing.
You did not say how did Kendra get past the moat. Okay, this is, I don't know how we're going to make it two more seasons before we just are saying all the same thoughts. Thank God we have a new show to start next September.
I wrote, not only did she cross the moat, but she scaled the wall.
What a, where, the drawbridge is down?
Because, guys, she comes
around
over
the wall, Kenneth D brought up.
She comes around the back. Yeah. She's at the back of the house.
Although
which
I have
weird.
No idea what, like, the actual orientation layout of this house is.
This leads out to the backyard where the barn is.
Well, I know that, but for some reason, I feel like they, you know how some people, like, use their side door, their front door? Like, it's
yes,
on the side of the house, but it's kind of their front door.
I don't know how Kendra would know that.
Well, if it's like,
it's like how at the mailman or the Domino's pizza delivery man at Meg's house only can find the front door.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, okay.
So we go to the lodger.
Well, she says Ella called her. Kendra says Ella called her, and so that's why she's here. They need to talk.
We go to the laundry room, and
oh my god,
Hannah sneaks into the laundry room when, like, the post for the security guard changes. Allie spills the detergent on the floor.
Well,
and then the security guard
knocks it over,
and the security guard goes, "All right, get a dustpan, unless you're gonna lick it up
to someone else." To someone who didn't purposely knock it over.
Allie basically, like, stop, drops, and rolls out of the
situation.
I would
be, like, so pissed off at Allie if I was one of those inmates. I'd be like,
wait, what?
Yeah.
And then Hannah meets her over there and is like, forget about the paper, and tries to tell Allie about Kendra. And then they need, like, they only have a couple minutes to leave. So Allie has the bright idea to take the hot iron.
This is why we said they shouldn't have an iron here. It's crazy. She thinks about this for less than 3 seconds. And she just, boom, puts that hot iron on her wrist.
Take it from me. Take it from me, who's a recent burn victim. That would hurt.
Take it from me, that would not feel good.
I still got a scar on my hand, and I barely even held that thing to my skin.
I thought it was extremely troubling when then she's like, Hannah, shut your hand in the dryer. Hannah's like, no.
I don't want either of these options.
No.
Hannah's but like, I'm not going to shatter my finger bones. Hannah's I'd like, rather have a burn.
Well, and also,
or
I'm,
would I?
You're just passing notes. There has to be a better way. We don't have to do this. This is crazy. She's like, Hannah, shut your hand in the dryer. And Hannah's like, no. And Allie's like, I'll do it. And I'm like, this reminds me of someone I used to know. She literally, Hannah puts her arm there, and Allie just, I was like, I audibly made a noise when that happened.
Crazy. So they make it
guys,
into,
she slams it, like, crunches Hannah's bones.
Yeah. And Hannah's like, fine after that. We go to the infirmary, and Hannah's like, using her hand just fine. And
Rebecca's like, how
Rebecca's
did this
there.
Happen? And Allie's
guys,
like, it was an
your
accident.
First time doing laundry?
Yeah.
And Rebecca turns her back, and while making as much noise as humanly possible to pass notes with,
Rebecca says what we're all thinking. I think, where do you two think you are? Which is such a funny way of saying you're in jail, you're not in homeroom. Like, where do you guys think that you are? You can't just be like passing, like Hannah like flattens out her entire body so she can fit the note in her pocket. It's like you're planking. Like you're taking up the entire room. There's someone else in here. And so she goes, listen, defending someone who thinks she can beat the system is not something I agreed to. And I am like, you poor woman. Like, that is so true. You got stuck with this bitch. So she forces Hannah to give her the note. And she opens
and
then
it. She opens it.
She's like, she like has no words. She's like, fuck you guys. Like, walks out. She's like, this. And it's just like Allie like trying to, like, Spencer's not here. It's Allie and Hannah trying to figure out like what those words mean.
Tough.
And literally Rebecca's like, I can't even begin to like talk about this. Like, you know what? You can have it back.
The only thing that could be worse is if it were Hannah and Aria.
Yeah,
or
yes.
Aria and Allie.
Because Aria would be certain that she got it. And she would, like, not take no for an answer. That's the thing, is, like, the only person Aria really will defer to is, like, Spencer on matters like this. Where otherwise, if Aria was leading the pack, they would be so far in the wrong direction because she just wouldn't be able to hear that, like, maybe she didn't get it right. Anyway.
They would be in jail for the murder of Shauna Fring is what would happen.
True. So Rebecca has an urgent message on her phone from from the other girls.
From Allie's buddies.
So Ezra and Caleb are like on this wild car chase to find Mike, and they pull up to an abandoned Honda and the doors are open always, and they run up to it and there is a fucking arrow through the windshield. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Are we in the Hunger Games? Like,
how powerful are these fucking arrows? It's literally
that's
like
actually such a good
inches,
point. Windshields are crazy.
4 inches of the arrow are through, and it's not even like it's stuck in the windshield a little bit.
It's completely through.
And it happens later through a plank of wood.
They're everywhere. These things are everywhere. And it does look like a walking, like, tetanus shot. Like, you need to, like, it's just bad. So that's what's happening
there. So we go to the Hastings castle, and Rebecca is there to meet Kendra. And Emily and Spencer are, it's like,
now Emily, I've never seen it before, but Emily needs crate time.
It's like Emily, they are in, and honestly, you know what? By the end of the episode, the justice system is doing them a favor because they're quite literally getting crate time.
That, you know what? Wait a minute. We just reframed this whole thing in our minds. I love it. And that's the end of the show. And that's why this was going to be the end of the show. Crate time was actually a storyline weaved throughout all these 5 seasons, but they took it out because they ended up extending.
Exactly. And Emily and Spencer have the energy of like parents in a meeting with their kid who's like trying to get into a program.
At the doctor. Where it's like you're sitting there and they're like, what are your symptoms? And you're like, my throat hurts. And the mom's like, and she's been clammy. She's been clammy, right? And you said, tell the doctor what you said. It's exactly that. Yes.
And Rebecca's like, okay.
But it's Emily and not Spencer, which is what's so unusual.
And then Rebecca stops Emily, and then Spencer's like, okay, well, like, I can chime in because my mom's a lawyer. And Rebecca's like, guys, I got it. And then she asked Rebecca the exact same question.
She's like, I'm a lawyer, remember? Yeah. And then Spencer's like, okay, so am I. So am I, basically. My mom isn't.
Genetic.
Okay, Rebecca, what were you going to ask? And then she asked the exact question. Spencer's like, okay, so it seems like anyone can do this job. Seems like we can both do this job. Thanks. But apparently, so Kendra's like, it sounded like Allie was on the phone. I don't remember what she said. That's when Rebecca lets Kendra go and Emily and Spencer lose their minds. They're like, you cannot let her go. Like, of course she's going on the stand and like, you have to prep her. And she's like, I'm not fucking putting her on the stand. Like, no one's going to believe her. She also like was kind of fucked up in this story. And they're like, but Kendra heard Allie get in a car. She left. And they're like, well, sorry. I mean, Rebecca just, I feel like she doesn't want Allie to win anymore. I feel like she's like, it's very hard to root for you, Allie. And
well, I think so, but I also think she's right. I do think that no one would believe.
I do too, yeah.
That Kendra just like comes out of the woodworks and she's on drugs. But she does say, I don't need that because we're not that desperate. And Spencer is like, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca, like, she thinks this is a checkmate. I'm not so sure it is, but she's like, we're putting Allie on the stand, actually.
Yeah, crazy. So we go back to the boys. They're now looking for Mike in the woods. And they're like, what is this, some sort of like scout camp? Like, there are all these canoes and like arrows and shit all everywhere. And arrows just come whizzing through the... You better not hurt my Caleb.
Ezra does this weird fucking thing before they get
to this clearing though where all the canoes are, where he sees like this white stuff in the tree and he thinks that it's like Mike's shirt.
It is.
But it's like there's barely anything there. It just like seemed pointless to me.
Well, but then later on we see Mike and his shirt has a big rip there and you can see the blood. And I kind of wondered if he actually like put it there so that like,
oh, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I kind of got that vibe because they did show it to us. And then
I would get so overwhelmed having to like be in the woods in the dark and try to like run around. I know. And, like, find my way out.
It's like being chased. My hell, actually. But Mike feels good. He feels like he like finally got away or whatever. So he starts like doing his confident walk and then he gets fucking pepper sprayed and like knocked out. He, like,
wait, we're not there yet.
Well, I just skipped to that part. The boys still looking for them.
They do this thing where they're ducking behind this wooden thing and then they start throwing rocks just into the woods.
It's giving.
Hoping to hit someone.
The snowball fight in Elf. Caleb just watched Elf for the first time and he's like, check this out. Boop, 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 boop with the rocks. Like that is exactly what's happening here. And I think we should just go through this like woods part.
Before Mike gets pepper sprayed, he's like he completely falls down this hill.
Oh, and I missed
that. He climbs back up it and he gets into this clearing. And this is the third jump scare of the day because he gets pepper sprayed and I gasped.
Yes.
I was like
I know. I mean it's getting what I realized, and I think this is what I was saying about how this feels like, I know it's not the finale and it doesn't feel like the finale because I understand how much bigger the show can and will get. So like, I do know that, but let's say I didn't. The reality is things have gotten a lot darker and a lot more like vicious and like dangerous. Like everything just kind of, I feel like has been taken up a notch a little bit. And maybe that's like the difference in the A's, you know, that we're seeing, but that's why I'm like, it's just everything. Like the way that we then see Mike, we jump to him. The next time the boys find him, he's fucking tied to a pole and he has like the, it's like the dodge or what is that called? Like where it's like the ball attached to the string, attached to the pole.
Whatever it is.
And he has that ball, but it's on like a metal, like fishing line, basically. It's wrapped around his neck. His mouth is duct taped. His eyes are bright red because he's been pepper sprayed. And he's like, his hands are tied behind the pole. And I'm sorry. Like, I know we don't know who did it, but smart Andrew, this is crazy.
Crazy.
Like, this is like really scary because the other, and I hate to like bring it into this, but like when Mona was doing all this stuff, it was a little bit like, okay, well, girl power. When you do this, smart Andrew, it's like what this stuff happens in real life when like a girl doesn't want to kiss a boy. Like boys do this shit. But he's like, Aria didn't call me back. We realized he doesn't know anything about Mona. It's just because Aria didn't call him back that he's doing this to Mike. Like I could see it is what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Men are insane.
Oh my gosh. So we go to the Hastings castle and Toby walks in and he throws his badge on the counter.
The
and
drama.
Goes, I did a lot of work to get that. And nobody around the police department even appreciates me.
I really wanted to get on this one special case, but then they didn't even really let me. And Spencer's like, why are you talking like drama?
And no, but that's Chuck's voice.
Well, Chuck's actually kind of a little bit slower and a little bit not super deep.
And he doesn't have that. He doesn't really have that R thing.
I kind of have more of a man. Well, I do, but it's just kind of a little bit more mature, I think.
It's not
really.
Like a Boston accent. Drama has more of a Boston.
Well, Drama's is kind of like you. And it's like, what are we doing today, Chuck? Actually, I was thinking this morning I actually found a whopper on the floor. Mom, I found a whopper. I looked at Queen. You want it back? Great. Anyway, that was drama. He took the mic. Okay, so yeah, Toby shows up. He's upset. He's like, I was tired of not being able to protect you, but now, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be choosing between this and you.
He goes, I worked my butt off in the police academy. I even got a buzz cut, and I'm like, thank God. And
he was like, him trying to get a laugh, and it's like, you'll have to try harder. You'll have to do better.
And basically, he's gonna give Lieutenant Butterscotch an ultimatum and be like, look, it's I get to date Spencer or I'm outie.
And she's like, well, who's gonna get the coffee then? Okay, I guess date her. Like, she's like, wait, you're a cop. Oh, then you're fine, we don't need you haven't really been helping out much. And then we find out
Lieutenant Butterscotch actually hasn't said anything about him being allowed to date Spencer or like really needed him to do much at all about Spencer. Like,
yeah,
he's just in his head. He's like, he's created this conflict completely in his head.
Precisely. And yeah, then they have a steamy, long-awaited makeout.
The Montgomery Mausoleum, Arya's calling Ezra, and he won't answer. And then she calls Andrew, and she goes, I thought you'd be home, Andrew.
She's so annoyed. She's like, you told me that I could ask you for a favor 24/7. So I would really like you to take a drive up to the cabin where Mike is staying. Because I just know something's wrong and I need your help. Yeah, in Allegheny. Can you go to Lebo?
Can you take a 7-hour drive
to Allegheny County? I did think it was crazy. She's like, okay. She didn't even ask. She was like, if you really meant that you'd do a favor, then I'd really like you to do this. Like, that's how she said it.
She doesn't ask for confirmation that he does it either.
Well, don't worry. Because he doesn't. Probably because he doesn't.
When we hear Andrew's excuse, I'm like, I saw the yearbook page.
Not good enough. Yeah. So that's when, of course, we go back to the woods and Ezra and Caleb find Mike in the state that I described him in. And this is, yes, guys, it is a big moment. The very first time in Pretty Little Liars we have ever decided to get proof of what's happening. Caleb takes a photo and Ezra like basically poses behind him. Hey, Ezra, get out of the picture, I think. You don't need to be in this picture, right? Like, Ezra's
what
like,
did they
gives
do?
Him like bunny ears behind his head. Like he's ears. Fully behind him.
What did they do with the cow tongue?
Girl.
Is that just like in Arya's room?
It's in Mike's room.
It's in
Mike's
room.
Arya put it under Byron's pillow. She's like, fuck you, Dad. This is for Meredith. Fuck you, Dad. So Rebecca is now in the courtroom and she's showing the jury pictures of Mona's injuries. And she's like, this girl was thrown against the wall. She was like thrown like a rag doll. And it would have had to be the assailant's right arm that did all of this. So Allie, can you throw me this grapefruit? So she has Allie throw her grapefruit from like three different angles. And there's
and this
one
is
angle.
Where we get proof. This is where we get proof that Allie was totally this girl who did get out of PE.
I was just she like, was like, oh like, my God.
This is so in line with who Allie is because yeah. She throws it from one angle and it's fine, basically. You can tell her elbow looks a little weird. She does it from another slightly different angle. Her elbow looks a little weirder. But the third angle,
she has to like move her entire body.
And like fully moves to yes. the side to throw it. And yes. Rebecca goes, and was that last throw a little hard for you? And Allie goes,
Allie's well, like, yeah. No. Allie jumps over the no. No. Starts beating the shit out of her.
And give it.
Yeah. No.
Give it back to me. I'll show you how far I can throw it. Yeah. Fuck off.
You want
to
see how far I'll throw it? I'll burst all your freaking heads open. I hope you don't get eaten by worms. She's like, sorry, little outburst.
And then the jury says she's guilty. And she's like, what?
She's like, excuse me? she joined the jail a cappella group. So she's really in the mood to sing all the time. They watch Pitch Perfect. Anyway, so
she watched Assassins.
Yeah. That's why she's talking about Squeaky. They only have so many films in the library, but they do have Assassins and Pitch Perfect
it's
1 and 2.
It's a bootleg film yeah. on like an
it's the same one you can
camera.
Watch on YouTube that like has the name like really fun recipe for tortellini. It's underneath that name because people are afraid it's going to get taken down. That's the one. Did you know that's what people do? They have the most insane fucking names you've ever heard
it's
of.
So
like,
funny.
They're like, I'm like, where can I find the Once on This Island bootleg? And it's like, oh, right. It's named like best baby names for a boy. It's named like something insane. So funny.
Theater people are funny.
They are.
To other theater people.
Not me.
What?
You said the other theater people.
No, two other theater people.
Oh, I thought you said theater people are funny. The other theater no. people. I was like, theater okay, people are, bitch.
Theater people are funny to theater people.
Don't forget, you're a theater person too.
I know.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
But the boys took the like photo. Well, they come to tell Detective Tanner everything. She's asking
guys,
them
disaster.
If they can identify the perpetrator. They're like, no, I didn't see them. And they're like, you can't even tell me if it was more than one individual. They're like, no. Like, is this the same information you gave the sheriff in Clockett, Allegheny County? They're like, no. And they're like, well, you have to file it with Wright County. And I am like, oh my God. Like,
the way Lieutenant, no, but she's being more condescending than you. You're being nice, Lieutenant Butterscotch, because you're frequently on her side right now.
No, I'm not on her side right now. No, I'm not. I'm not on the same side as you.
She's like, so you can't tell me if this was a man or a woman. Like,
I know.
She's looking at three people who are visibly like covered in dirt and covered in blood. Mike's in the corner.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Like, she's looking, like, clearly something happened. And they're like, no, we didn't tell anybody in Allegheny County because they weren't there, but also because they had to, they were like, we're going to come all the way back here. And Caleb is like, we figured it was connected because someone is after us.
Yeah, LB, she does not actually want to solve this case. She just wants to get it off her table. That's what I'm seeing. And she's like, okay, and just to be clear, instead of stopping to help untie your friend, you took a picture first.
Before the picture, she says the thing about having to file it in the other county, and this is where Caleb throws his hands up and he goes, unfreaking believable. This town has it so ass backwards. I cannot believe someone is after us. Can't you see it?
He flips. He literally, that was good. He literally flips.
Thank you.
And you know that Tyler Blackburn was like, can't I just say fuck? It's not going to hit the same if I can't say unfucking believable. It is not going to hit the same.
How many times do you think they had to do it though to get him to say frickin'?
Yeah, they're like, Tyler's like, sorry, just keep slipping out. One of these days, they're just not going to hear the difference anymore.
Anyway. And he shows the phone to Lieutenant Butterscotch, and that's when she's like, you posed with your, I see Ezra in the back giving Mike Montgomery, who's tied to a pole and duct taped
bunny
with his
ears,
mouth duct tape shoved, giving him bunny ears. Okay.
She's like, someone's, this is a lot like though, when people go shoot big game and they take pictures and post on their Instagram. That's what this feels like.
Yeah. Are you going to put this on your Hinge profile too?
Yeah. Huh? So now Allie's being cross-examined and the prosecution asks her if she ever took archery, and they're like, well, I think you're really good at it. And the look on Allie's face, she just knows she's fucked, and she's like, I don't remember, I don't recall. And all the girls' phones start ringing as the lawyer pulls out an award that Allie won first place in some fucking camp archery competition. And Allie's just like, God, like, fuck me, is her face. And the text that A sent the girls says, bullseye, bitches. So we're like, really not clear whether
at
or not
I was like, at first
she
I was
actually
like,
did.
A, at first I was like, did A fabricate the award? Like, is it a fake award? And then later we realized that that's not true. The truth is actually even funnier and so,
yeah,
so perfect for Allie's
story.
And so we go to the police department and Toby shows up and is like, he's like, finally, he's been in the car like listening to like Bruce Springsteen, and he's been pumping himself up to walk in there.
Tramps like us.
He's literally like, okay. Whew. All right. He's like, he does like a heel click as
me.
He walks up there.
Baby, we were born to run.
And he walks in there and Lieutenant Butterscotch is like, okay. No, I don't really, we're good. There's nothing you can do to help your friends anymore, buddy.
Yeah,
we've got them. It's a little too late to help your friends, and they should have thought about who they were helping this
whole
time.
Yeah, sorry, there's nothing you can do now.
And they're like moving a bunch of evidence around and like all this
stuff. I guess that's where
it
becomes
clear at this point where it's
I didn't put it together, so it's not that clear.
And then It's Time by Imagine Dragons starts to play as Lieutenant Butterscotch marches into the courtroom.
So that isn't what plays, but it might as well be, because we do get a little montage in a moment with one of, they're loving this right now. It's their new favorite device. So Allie's sitting outside the courtroom and Rebecca approaches and she's like, I'm not going to lie, kind of shocked about the award. And Allie's like immediately like, how dare you, offended. But she's like, okay, well, I didn't even win it. Me and my roommate rigged it. So we went and placed
so
them
funny.
Before the competition ever started. And I can't tell the truth now. So it's just like fucking, it's like literally
guys, it's
the lies you tell,
say.
You better tell
lies,
the truth, y'all. You don't know.
Lies will bury you. Lies
you
will
do
bury
not
you.
Know when that's going to come back to get you.
But sorry, the look on Allie's face is so funny when she's like, I didn't even win it.
Yeah,
but
she's
we
like,
find out that in the hour lunch break that they were like, they all had after Rebecca did the whole thing about her arm being not healed.
Was Allie allowed to leave? Is that what you're about to say?
Well, Allie's just like kind of sitting there.
No, I know.
I'm saying is that I think A got the award to the prosecution. Oh, that's how, because Rebecca's like, I don't know how they found that award in the hour that they had on lunch break, and they came back with the award.
Oh.
Which I'm like, okay, oh, they're outside because the jury's deliberating, and I am a little bit like, there's not a police officer next to Allie.
I thought she's the same not, thing. Like, well, then they say, she's like, oh, Jason and my dad went to go get food. I didn't want to go. And I'm like, were you allowed to go? That was like my question. So
for murder.
Ezra then is updating Arya. He's like, Mike's shaken. He's okay. And Smart Andrew sees Arya. So he's going to go like wait with her on the steps.
She says, you never answer my calls. And he's like, sorry, I spent the whole night working on my yearbook thing, but my phone died, so I must not have answered. So he sits down and Arya pulls the thing out and they're like reading it. They're going over it. And he goes, man, she was like, I knew you were nice, but an award-winning Pathfinder scout?
And sorry, I forgot to say it, but that is what Caleb says when they're in the, and when he's like, is this like a campground? Is this like a Pathfinder? Can't, like, he says that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're drawing those. And he says, 12 years, you never know when those skills are going to come in handy. And I just want to say, not so smart, creep. Andrew, huh? Not creep. So smart, Andrew.
I know, you would think, like, hey, Mike, Ezra, and Caleb were all being shot at by you.
Literally.
They might bring up the fact that they were there and that archery was involved.
I mean, yeah, it was an unusual detail.
Thank God that he picked Arya to be in love with, because Spencer would be making his connection already.
Exactly.
Arya's not going to make the connection between the archery that Caleb and all them did, the A-text, Allie's whole thing, and what Andrew did.
Because Arya's too busy just thinking me. That's when we get our little montage of Hannah being sat in jail, and then we add in the jury, like, or everyone's waiting on jury deliberations, and we get our verdict. Crazy fucking pants.
What did you think?
I guess I didn't really know. I guess my mind, I thought, you know what? Honestly, I don't think I knew. I thought they were going to do not guilty, maybe. But she's guilty
for some reason.
I don't know. And Lieutenant Butterscotch is there and she's really pleased with herself. And for a second, I'm like, why is that? And then I realize, oh, it's because all the other fucking girls are getting arrested too. So they're added to the montage, which does.
She may as well have handcuffs in her hand and she's swinging him back and forth.
Arya looks at her like, hey guys, what is LB's deal? She like is looking at us like she's happy about something. I know she wanted Allie in jail, but like, why is she looking at me? Oh my God, what is that cold feeling on my wrist?
Oh my God.
Ouch. You clipped my skin. And then we get our A scene.
And it's A playing with dolls. All the dolls are in a little bus that says like Department of Corrections, and it's being taken to a castle where there's another doll already waiting for them, probably Allie. And then A starts to touch a corsage and put it on a suit.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe we're already at the dollhouse episodes.
I'm really excited. I'm definitely eager to see how they get to the dollhouse considering they are locked the hell up. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be crazy. Why don't you read our synopsis for next week? Our season five finale.
Season 5, episode 25. Welcome to the dollhouse. Shocking secrets come to light for Arya, Emily, Hannah, and Spencer as the biggest clue to the A mystery is revealed. The air date was March 24th, 2015.
Wow. Crazy. I guess I'll watch it after I do my ghost tours this weekend so that I have kind of a primer on my fear levels. By that point, nothing will scare me at all. And I'm going to do every haunted house in Pittsburgh next week. So I'll report back because I'm going to be ready. I got to ride this high, you know, who knows?
Caroline's going to Google scariest haunted house you can do
in America.
In America.
And I'm going to use the Rosewood, PA time traveling portal to get there. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Couple things. Tomorrow, we will have a new Patreon episode for all Honorary Connell sisters.
Hello, everyone. That is actually not true. The Patreon episode is actually going to be a little Halloween treat. We're going to release it next Thursday, which is also the day of the giveaway ending and the day of the season 5 finale. So big day. We're going to put on our Instagram stories a couple polls about a couple different Halloween things we were thinking we could watch for the Patreon. So you guys will get to decide, and that will end up coming out sometime next
Thursday.
If you haven't already, listen to our episode from Tuesday and listen to Phoebe's insane experience at the DMV and how mortifying it is to read a paper book, which our mother majorly took issue with. I will just tell you all now, majorly. Next week on our season 5 finale day is the closing of our giveaway. That will be the last time you can enter it. So if you haven't already, and lots of you have, very excited, but if you haven't already, you have another week. So go follow us on Instagram at the Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. And follow us on TikTok at the Pretty Little Podcast. It's all letters. And if you love us, please, please, please leave us a 5-star review and a rating. It helps us so, 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 so much. We love you guys. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. And
splat.